Now, most of us would think that we know the Genesis account of Cain and Abel, and I'm sure you do. But I just want to kind of review it for you, and then we'll get into our lesson. Cain, the firstborn, majored in agriculture. He was a farmer, while Abel, his younger brother, took up shepherding. And both were religious men. And so when it came time to worship, each brought an offering appropriate to his profession. Abel brought a firstborn lamb and its fat portions, and Cain brought fruit out of the ground. Maybe he brought some lentils. Maybe he brought some wheat. I'm not sure. But as Genesis 4 tells us, God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. And Cain's reaction to God was one of anger. Genesis 4:5 tells us that Cain was very wroth or very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, God then warned him. I mean, God wasn't pleased. You know, when you get angry with God, you better be careful because God is going to respond. And so what did God say to Cain after he became angry at God because God did not accept his offering? Well, he said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at the door and it desires to have you. And so Cain, you must master it. Sin cannot master you. You must master it. But what did Cain do? He nursed his pride-filled outrage to the point he murdered his brother Abel. He murdered him. If you see verse 8, and Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Which tells us that Cain committed premeditated murder and therefore clearly rejected God's counsel and way of escape. Now we see in these two brothers two radically different approaches to religion and to God. We see in Cain a way of unbelief and self-righteousness. In other words, we see a man-made religion. And Jude 11 warns, woe to them that have taken the way of Cain. That's what it actually says. Woe to them who have followed in Cain's footsteps. But then in contrast, we see in Abel the way of faith, which is succinctly described in our text of the morning. If you'll turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 4, Pastor Beck read it earlier, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now what does Abel tell us? What does he say to us, though he is now dead? Well, three things. These statements will form our outline. Number one, faith led Abel to offer an acceptable sacrifice. Faith led Abel to offer an acceptable sacrifice. Number two, faith produced righteousness in Abel. And number three, faith manifested a godly witness through Abel. Well, under our first point, faith led Abel to offer to God an acceptable sacrifice. We read in verse 4 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, from the parallel account in Genesis 4, it seems that God gave both these brothers a place to worship. Because they brought offerings, some sort of altar must have been used on which to make their sacrifices. Perhaps we can say here was a forerunner of the mercy seat, a place where men could come for forgiveness and atonement. And then second, God gave these brothers a time for worship. For we read in Genesis 4:3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, which tells me that God had designated a special time for worship, for sacrificing on this particular altar. But third, we can say that God had defined for these sons of Adam and Eve a way to worship. God didn't just let them worship any old way. I mean, he stipulated how they were to worship, where they were to worship, what time they were to worship. Now, let me say there was nothing intrinsically wrong with a grain, fruit, or vegetable offering. The Mosaic covenant included such offerings, but the blood offerings were always first, and the reason only the blood offering dealt with sin, and sin always needs to be addressed first. And both Cain and Abel understood the substitutionary atoning nature of the blood sacrifice. And you say, well, how did they know that? Because God had provided for their parents when they sinned, when they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, a bloody offering. And God took the lamb of that bloody offering. He took the skins. And what did he do? He clothed their parents after they had sinned. And by doing so, God had established the principle of covering, of atoning for sin through the shedding of blood. Remember, Adam and Eve's fig leaves were not adequate. And because the life of faith begins with a sacrifice for sin, it starts with believing that we are sinners worthy of death and that we need God's forgiveness. And when we accept his plan of salvation through Christ, the life of saving faith then takes root in our hearts. And friends, it was through such faith that Abel presented his acceptable sacrifice to God. And so again, as the text says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because God had prescribed a blood sacrifice. That is what he required. Therefore, what made Abel's sacrifice acceptable was he gave what God wanted, whereas Cain gave what he wanted. Meaning Abel was obedient and Cain was disobedient. Abel acknowledged his sin, Cain did not. In Cain's way to worship, he recognized God, but he did not obey God. He believed in God, but he did not believe God. He thus concluded, I could approach God in whatever way I want and receive God's approval. But in doing so, Cain became the father of all false religions. What do false religions say? There's another way. There's another name. There's another path to God. But Proverbs 14:12 counters this man-ordained way by saying, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes, there are ways that seem, oh, well, this makes sense. This seemingly will work, but the end thereof, and this is the critical point we need to all grasp, man's way to God ends in death. And we're talking an eternal death. And so it behooves us to get it right. Friends, there are many ways of death in the false religions of this world. And so again, Jude warns us, woe to them who have gone the way of Cain. Like the Pharisee in the temple, whom Jesus said was praying to himself. These Cain-like men have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And you find that text in Romans chapter 10. Again, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice because it represented the obedience of faith. He willingly brought what God asked for, and he brought the very best he had. In Abel's sacrifice, the way of the cross was prefigured. And what is the way of the cross? Behold, the Lamb of God who died to take away who shed his blood to take away the sin of the what? World. And so no wonder Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God. What is your sacrifice? What are you bringing to God? Are you bringing the works of your hands? And friends, we're not saved by works, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Only the way of the cross leads home. Which brings us now to point number two, that faith produced righteousness in Abel. Having taught us that offering a righteous sacrifice comes through faith. And I'm sure when Abel brought that bloody lamb, that bloody sacrifice to God, you know, he had to believe, God, you will accept this sacrifice because this is how you told us we have to come to you. And he by faith believed God. He by faith obeyed God. And I've told you this before, your faith, true faith, activates obedience. You can always tell how strong your faith is by how obedient you are to what God directs us, what God commands us to do. And so here we see that he offered a righteous sacrifice through faith. The author of Hebrews shows us then in the very next statement, sentence, that righteousness also results from faith. We read in verse 4, by which he obtained witness that he was what? Righteous. Now, just how God spoke well of Abel's sacrifice is not indicated. But both Jewish and Christian tradition believe that fire came down from heaven and consumed Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And the Bible does record fire descending on God-accepted offerings in at least five other instances, and you can find those places in Leviticus, Judges, 1 Kings, and 2 Chronicles. But again, we do know that God spoke well of Abel's offerings. As verse 4 tells us, he testified of his gifts. And what were those gifts? What was that gift? A bloody sacrifice, and that on account of his faithful offerings, he was commended as a righteous man, a right living man. In fact, Jesus called this younger brother righteous Abel, and you can see that in Matthew chapter 23. And John emphasized a life of love by contrasting Cain's evil actions with Abel's righteous actions. And you find that in 1 John chapter 3. And let me read verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. His brother's righteous. Friends, Abel has the reputation for righteous living. As we see in verse 2 of Hebrews 11, he won a good report. And here is the connection. Authentic faith will produce authentic righteousness, for true living produces righteous fruit. True faith produces good works. And remember, that's what James tells us. James chapter 2, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without or apart from thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I love what one author says here, and this is such a beautiful picture of faith and works together. Faith and righteousness work like the wings of a bird. There can be no lift, no flight with a single wing, whether works or faith. But when the two are pumping in concert, their owner soars through the heavens. And such a righteous life marked Abel because of his obedient faith in God. which brings us to our last point, and that is faith manifested a godly witness through Abel. Now, when the Lord confronted Cain after Abel's murder, he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Friends, Abel's first words following his death were to God, asking for his murder to be avenged, which reminds me of the souls underneath the altar asking God to avenge the blood on those who lived on the earth. And you find that in Revelation chapter 6. Back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 11, "And now art thou cursed from the earth." This is God speaking to Cain, "which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest, when thou cultivatest the ground, it shall not henceforth or no longer yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond or a wanderer shalt thou be in the earth." Friends, every bit of soil on which Cain sought to farm, to cultivate, to till the ground for his crops would remind him of his wicked deed. And I think that reminder continues now and will keep going on forever. I truly believe Cain went to hell. And every moment he is being reminded of his wicked deeds, of his refusal to follow God's way of life, righteousness, and life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, when the text says, "He being dead yet speaketh," has to do with Abel speaking to people like you and me. And what does he say to us? Well, he says three basic things. Number one, man can only come to God by faith. Works don't work. Now, works follow faith, but works do not produce saving faith. Number two, man must accept and obey God's revelation above his own reason and self-will, for life is only found in God's Son. Remember, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And then number three, sin is divinely punished. The wages of sin is death. Those that refuse to follow God's way, to place their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, they experience the wrath of God, which is what? Death. But, thankfully, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, Abel, in essence, is saying to you and me today, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we respond, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. He died for me. He took the wages of my sin and yours. And so Cain's last words to us, this brother, my way leads to unrighteousness and death. Man-made religions always lead to unrighteousness and death. But Abel's last words to us, God's way leads to righteousness and life. And so I encourage you to serve God in whatever field he calls you. But remember, there's only one way to come to God, and that is through Christ. And there's only one way to please him, and that is by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Friends, we have two choices. What way are you following? What direction are you going? The way of Cain? Woe to them that follow the way in the ways of Cain, or the way of Abel, the way of life.